So we're going to study the book of Isaiah, and I've given you an outline for the first 23 chapters. There's 66 chapters, which is similar to the number of books in the Bible, 66 books in the Bible. And some people have called Isaiah the Bible in miniature, because the first 40 chapters can compare to the Old Testament. There's a lot of judgment, law, God dealing with the nation of Israel. And then the last 27 chapters compares to the New Testament, 27 books, and it begins out speaking to people about comfort and the good news and how God would send someone to prepare the way for the Messiah. And certainly in Isaiah there are some of the most clear prophecies about the Messiah that are in any of the prophetic books. Isaiah is the longest of the prophetic books. And so we're entering into a new section of Scripture today. Going through the Old Testament, we've seen the law of Moses, all the first five books of Moses. We've seen the historical section from Joshua all the way through Ezra and Nehemiah. And we've seen the poetical books from Job, Proverbs, Psalms, Song of Solomon, Ecclesiastes. And now we begin the prophetic books, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and so on until the end of the Old Testament, Malachi. And so we have about 3 more months left. We should be finishing the Old Testament, going through it book by book. I'm very excited about that. So we're making progress. This study in Isaiah will take us 3 weeks because of the length of the book. And I've tried to divide it into sections as the book itself is divided. Notice on your outline that in the introduction, it says, "The Lord is revealed as holy and on the throne, and he shall reign righteously over all. But man is revealed as sinful and prideful rebel." So we're going to see a contrast between God's holiness and man's sinfulness in these chapters. And then the next few points under this is the divisions of the book. Judgment and condemnation for all men. That's from chapter 1 through 35. Then there's a transition in the kingdoms of God and man in 35 through 39th chapters. And then the final section is about justification and salvation through the servant. So that's how it compares to the Bible, and that's how you can divide the book up into those 3 parts. So beginning today at chapter 1, we'll see the prophecies against Judah and Israel all the way to chapter 12. And then when we get to chapter 13 through 23, it deals with prophecies against other nations. So God isn't just singling out Judah, although that is the focus of the first 12 chapters and much of the book. God is dealing with the people that he's chosen to bring the Messiah through. But in the end, we're going to see the total sinfulness of all men. So we're not looking down on them as if we're somehow better, but we understand that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. We're all under sin. And therefore, we all need a Savior. So today's going to be a pretty dark message, actually, because if you've ever gone to a jewelry store, and they want to sell you diamonds. How do they present the diamonds? They have a really brilliant light up ahead, and then they also have a black background. Not just like this, shiny black like my Bible cover, but a felt black that will absorb the light and actually appear darker so that diamond will be revealed in all of its glory and its shine. And it's the same way in the book of Isaiah, that first God deals with the blackness of our sin. And then in contrast to that, we'll see the glory of our Savior. Same way in the book of Romans, first 3 or 4 chapters, he deals with the sinfulness of man. And then he gets to the gospel of Jesus. And it's the same way when we deal with unbelievers, sharing the gospel with them. We need them to understand that they're lost and that the only one that can save them is Jesus, because we ourselves were lost and we've been saved. So we want to share that with other people. So today will be a particularly dark passages will cover. But even in the midst of that, there's hope. We're going to see prophecies about Jesus, how God would send his son, born of a virgin, to become the Redeemer, the servant that would take our sins, and the one that would rise from the dead. So in the scope of Isaiah, we see everything prophesied about Jesus from his birth to his death, resurrection, and to his future kingdom. So our goal today is to look through each chapter and identify what it says about the Messiah and what it says about our relationship with him. So let's begin now. Chapter 1, verse 1. The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw during the reign of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Now, these four kings are mentioned. They cover a period of time about 80 years, from 760 B.C. to 680 B.C., is the period of time that Isaiah lived, and his ministry was probably about 60 years approximately. He started to prophesy in the time of Uzziah. He was a godly king, and we see in chapter 6, in the year that Uzziah died, Isaiah saw a vision of the Lord on the throne. And so that's going to be an important chapter. So the first five chapters are during the time of Uzziah. Now there were other prophets that prophesied at the same time as Isaiah. If you remember our study through the books of 1 Kings and 1 Chronicles, we covered the times where there was a kingdom in Israel. They had said, "We want a king like all the other nations." And God said, "Okay, I'll give you a king." God was rejected, actually, as their king. He said, "If you want a human king, I'll put Saul in there. You'll learn that it's not good to have a human king." And then Saul was rejected, and David became king. And then after David, Solomon. After Solomon, Rehoboam. And when Rehoboam became king, he made foolish decisions that divided the nation into two parts: the northern kingdom, Israel, and the southern kingdom, Judah. And none of the kings in the north had a good testimony. They were all doing evil in the eyes of the Lord, worshiping idols, doing very sinful things, engaging in much sexual immorality, corruption, lying, killing. There was a lot of assassinations of the kings, so they kept changing. In the southern kingdom, they were a little bit better. Occasionally they would have a good king who did good in the sight of the Lord. But they also worshipped idols and built altars to these false gods. And so God would remove the king, and then there would be another king who maybe would remove those idols, but not completely, and they would keep coming back to it. So during that time, God would send prophets to his people to prophesy against what they were doing and to correct them, to bring them to repentance. And so if you're in a life of sin, these prophets might speak to you powerfully, calling you to repentance, calling you to turn before it's too late. And so sometimes their messages is very strict and rebuking. Sometimes we need to hear that. Other times it's a message of comfort. But it all depends on your relationship with Jesus the Messiah. Have you humbled yourself before him and received his grace? Or are you proud and thinking that you could do it on your own? So we'll see how God deals with the nations of Israel and Judah, as well as the other nations today. The first verse identifies the author for us. It's Isaiah. And a little bit about Isaiah. We don't know so much about him because he begins the second verse with the message that God gave him. He really doesn't talk about himself very much, and neither do the books of the Kings. However, in the New Testament, there are many, many quotes about Jesus quoted from Isaiah. So we know that he was a prophet of God. And it says in Peter's epistle, I want to turn to 1 Peter and then 2 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. So these prophets, they looked forward to when Jesus would come. They didn't know when Jesus would come. They would be given words from God, and then they would study those words themselves, trying to find out, okay, when is Jesus coming? And they prophesied about two things, primarily. The sufferings of Christ, how he would die on the cross, and the glories that would follow. In other words, the resurrection, the ascension, the kingdom age when Jesus would rule on the throne. And so we're going to see both those topics today. And it goes on, it says in verse 12, it was revealed to them they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. Even angels long to look into these things. So this mystery of the gospel was hidden in the prophet's message and revealed in the gospel. The gospel is the power of God for salvation. It means good news. And the good news certainly started when Jesus was born. They said, for unto you the city of David, a king is born. And the angels proclaim good news. All the way through the resurrection, if you read the four Gospels, it covers that span of Jesus' life and ministry on earth, and then these ending with the ascension to heaven. That's the Gospel, all about Jesus. And so, just as the New Testament is all about Jesus, so is the Old Testament. Those who have been coming here for a while know that we've found Jesus in every book of the Bible so far. He is the main subject. Of course, there's a lot of other things that it deals with, but our focus is on Jesus. The book of Isaiah. Sometimes I'll say Isaiah, meaning the book, not referring to the author. I'll say in Isaiah 12 or whatever. We call the book Isaiah. And so the title of this message is Jesus in Isaiah, not in the person of Isaiah, but in the book of Isaiah is what is meant by that.